embark on a study of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to find that no other portion of Scripture does quite what the parables will do. The parables are able to break through the pretense of life and get us to come back to reality. And we're going to consider these together throughout the course of the next several weeks. I want to share a couple things with you, some statements that have been said about the parables of our Savior, just to kind of get us prepared for what we have in store for us as we study together. James Montgomery Boyce, in his book, The Parables of Jesus, says this: "Other sections of the Bible give us grand theology. Some move us to grateful response to God. But the parables break through mere words and make us ask whether there has indeed been any difference made in our lives." As we come to study the parables, we're going to find that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the lessons, through the stories that He tells, is going to break through our pretenses of life. And He's going to get us to face the reality of how we are living. And I think the study will benefit us in many ways. The parables of the Lord comprise 1/3 of all of His recorded teachings. You go through the gospel story and you begin to read the messages and the things that the Lord taught. 1/3 of everything recorded of His teaching, He did so in the form of parables. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 2, we read these words: "And He taught them many things by parables." Tonight, we want to begin to understand what those parables are all about. Neil Lightfoot, in his book on the parables of the Lord, says this: "The master of all teachers often put men to thinking by the use of pictures. He did not leave principles of the way of life in abstraction, but brought them down within the reach of humble doors." In these parables, we will find the wonderful truths, the principles of God and His kingdom brought down to our level that we might truly be able to comprehend and understand. Herbert Locklear, in his book, All the Parables of the Bible, added to that sentiment of Lightfoot when he said, "Because of His infinity, God had to condescend to those things with which man was familiar in order to convey to man's finite mind the sublime revelation of His will." Tonight, we want to begin to ask some basic questions concerning the parables that our Lord and Savior taught. And in so doing, we want to be able to lay a foundation as we study the greatest of all stories ever to be told. As we begin tonight, I want to ask this question: what is a parable? As we come and we seek to understand these parables, these stories that the Savior taught, we need to begin by asking ourselves, what is a parable? And we need to take the time to define these stories of the Lord that we might better understand their importance to us. As we look at defining the parable, you will probably be able to quote the first definition that I would give to you. Maybe most of you will remember that from Sunday school. Parables have often been defined this way: an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Years ago, that was offered to a Sunday school class that has continued to circulate throughout Christianity, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But as we continue to look at this thought or these truths of the parables, we're going to find that the word parable itself is a Greek transliteration that means to throw alongside. And so as we consider the parables of the Lord, we understand that that means that He would throw alongside. It means to take one thing and place it alongside another for the purpose of comparison. So in the stories that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to share, He is going to take something that is familiar, something that His audience would understand, and lay it alongside a spiritual truth that we might be able to comprehend as we compare that which He is teaching us. Going back to that quote from Locklear, God condescended to those things familiar to help us understand that which is unfamiliar. And so as we begin to study out these parables, we're going to find that the Lord is going to use the concept of word pictures and stories to teach us spiritual truths that in some ways we would have difficulty comprehending. Through the use of these earthly stories, men would be able to easily relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would be able to convey these spiritual truths. These stories of the Lord, these parables, are earthly in form, but truly heavenly in spirit. As we continue on, we realize that Paul, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, would remind us of this truth, that for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God took the invisible things since the creation of the world, and he allows us to understand them through that which we see. The greatest parable maybe ever used is that of creation. God allows us to understand that which is invisible through the means of that which is visible, through that which is material. And the world around us speaks and declares for us the truth of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. We see his glory in the majesty of his creation. And so as we come to these parables, we're going to find that in them we have these invisible things that are seen by that which is visible. G. Campbell Morgan said this of the parable. He said, "It's a picture of things seen, intended to reveal and explain things unseen, taking one set of facts familiar and material and making them explanatory of others strange and spiritual." So as we begin to discover these parables of the Lord, we understand that these earthly stories given to us in a form that we can understand and relate to were designed to then teach us spiritual truths. As we continue on and we understand what a parable is, we have to also ask ourselves another question, and that is this: why? Why did Jesus use parables? Why would he seek to use these stories to convey these spiritual truths? Why not just preach more sermons or give more discourses? Why the parable? And by the way, there is a point in time in his earthly ministry, and we're going to see that in just a moment, that the Lord turned and all he would use to the multitude was the parable. In fact, I want you to turn in two passages this evening. The first is Mark chapter 4. And once you found Mark chapter 4, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I want you to mark both of those places this evening. Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 13. In both of these passages, we have what we commonly call the parable of the sower. Now, tonight we're not going to study the parable of the sower together. We're going to do that in the weeks to come. But as we look at this passage together this evening, we find that the Lord Jesus gives us the reason that he would speak in parables. In Mark chapter 4, let's look beginning in verse 1. It says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about with him, the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and in hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 tonight. In Matthew chapter 13, we have the same story that is told. But in Matthew chapter 13, we have greater explanation given than that which is given in Mark chapter 4. And we really need the explanation of Matthew chapter 13 that we would answer the question properly, why did Jesus teach in parables? First of all, let me say before we get to Matthew 13, it is not, as some suppose, to hide the truth from the hearers. Some come to Mark chapter 4, and the way they read Mark chapter 4 is that the Lord taught in parables because he wanted the disciples to understand, but the multitude he wanted to conceal the truth from them. And some have actually taught that, and some have actually written to that effect, and some have believed that and expounded that truth, that he spoke in parables that the truth might be concealed, held from the multitudes. As we come to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to find greater explanation. Matter of fact, look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And in seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now at first reading you might think, that doesn't sound a whole lot different than what Mark said. But it is a fuller description of why the Lord Jesus Christ would teach in parables. After he would teach this parable on the sower, and as his disciples would inquire of him why, he would give to them the reason in these passages. Mark's, again, is the abridged version, condensed, much like Mark's gospel is condensed with little detail. But in Matthew, we have that fuller explanation. Again, God did not speak in parables that he would hide the truth from its hearers. I want you to look with me again in Matthew's gospel, and I want us to begin to see the answer to this question. Although it is true that many by this point in the Lord's ministry had hardened their hearts against him, it is not that he sought to withhold the knowledge from them. Look again with me, if you would, in verse 13. Because we find these words, "Therefore speak I unto them in parables." He's going to lay out for us the reason that he speaks to them in parable form. He says, "Because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Why do they see, but not perceive? Why do they hear, but not understand?" Look at verse 15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Jesus Christ had taken the time to teach them truths. We're in Matthew 13. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthews 5, 6, and 7. He had taken the time, had he not, to teach them spiritual truth? You read through that sermon, and some have titled the Sermon on the Mount the greatest sermon he ever preached. There is much truth in the Sermon of the Mount. Volumes have been written to expound on the truth that Jesus Christ taught in that sermon. He had taught them. They had seen his miracles. They had heard from his lips. They had seen from his works. Yet seeing, they didn't see. And hearing, they didn't hear. Why? Because their heart had been hardened against him. There were those who were questioning his ministry. There were those who would question the things that he would say. There were those that would question his ability to perform miracles. "He performs miracles by Satan," is what they would say. And so in seeing, they refused to see. And in hearing from him, they refused to hear. So why did he preach in parables? He used stories, parables, in order that they might understand the truth that they needed. He would speak to them in parables so that he could relate to them in a way that they would maybe be able to comprehend and grasp. Because the story stirs the imagination. It causes us to think. It causes us to question. It causes us to ponder. It is something we can remember. So the Lord used parables because those who were listening, those who were gathering, except his disciples, refused to hear his message. They refused to believe in their heart and understand that before him is the Messiah. Look what he says in verse 16. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." He said to his disciples, "Blessed are you. You have opened your eyes, you have opened your ears, you have comprehended the truth that I have taught you. You have believed by faith that I am the Messiah." In fact, he said, so blessed are you that you need to be reminded that the prophets desired to see what you're seeing. They desired to hear what you are hearing, and it has been given unto you to know these mysteries. But to the multitudes who were hardening their heart, he had to speak in parable so that they might be drawn unto him. It wasn't that he wanted to hide the truth. He wanted to make that truth more known and understood by speaking to them in terms that they were familiar with. Because they could not comprehend the spiritual truth, they had to be spoken of in the terms of the stories, in terms of the parables. Again, let me give you a quote from G. Campbell Morgan in his book, The Parables and Metaphors of the Lord. I think he correctly interprets and clearly explains all of this. He says, the purpose of the story, the picture, was to lure them to think in order that they might find their way to the higher mystery. In other words, the parable is ever the open door to the mystery. Our Lord did not intend to prevent men seeing, but to help them to see. He did not want to prevent them from hearing, but to quicken their power of hearing. He did not keep them from the forgiveness and the mercy of God, but he lured them towards it. By the use of these parables, it was the design of the Lord that he would draw men to himself. Because for him to proclaim the truth and say, I am the Messiah, they refused to hear that. Even though the proof of it was there, he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. But they had hardened their heart. But the Lord Jesus, I'll remind you, came to seek and save those who were lost. He desired to see his people saved. So he used the parable that he might lure them to himself, not to conceal the truth. The parables, and within the parables, these stories, they are given that we might be able to comprehend spiritual truths that otherwise we would be hard-pressed to understand. That leads us to another point, another question tonight. What are the benefits of the parables? What are the benefits for you and I to study the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ? Tonight, I think it's fair for me to share some insights that I've gleaned as I began my preparations for the study. Because our time is growing short, I'm going to suggest five things that Locklear mentioned in his own introduction, and I'm going to expound upon them a little bit tonight. But what is the benefit of using the parables? What's the benefit for us studying the parables? Well, there's five things I want you to see with me tonight, and I think we're going to find these benefits in days to come. Number one, parables attract. And when fully understood, they are more easily remembered. The parables attract. And when they are understood, they're more easily remembered. Let me ask you a question. What do you most remember from any given sermon that you have heard?
What illustration?
I would like to say that it's the points that the pastor makes. I would like to say it's because we put the time in and we give three concise points. We alliterate them for you to help you remember. But you know what no one remembers? No one remembers the points that we make. No people remember? The stories that we tell. Now, here's your problem. You have a pastor that's not a very good storyteller. I don't tend to do it all that much. So you're stuck with having to try to remember the points. And I'm glad some of you take the time to write it down. And that's why we use PowerPoint. I'm not the greatest storyteller ever. But let's face it. You remember the stories. You remember the illustrations. Whereas you will probably forget the main headings or the main points of the passage. You might later in the week pick up your Bible and go to the book of Galatians, and you might read through the book of Galatians and says, you know, I know Pastor preached on chapter 4, and what you will remember is the story or the illustration used, but you may not remember the actual point that we made. But you're going to remember the truth that was taught by the means of the story. And so the parables help us, they attract us, and they are easily remembered. How many people do you know, even unsaved, who are familiar with the parables? There are many. In fact, within our own culture, we have actually taken the things of the parables and adapted as part of our common language. And we will illustrate those kinds of things in all of those issues of life. And people who have never even once opened up their Bible can be familiar with some of the parables of the Lord. They know the story of the Good Samaritan. And they may have only heard it but one time. because the stories are easily to be remembered. And in those stories, there are great spiritual truths for us to consider. Second, the parables help the mind and thinking faculty. Parables raise question, and they arouse within a sincere heart a desire to investigate in order to understand. You are going to be more likely to try to understand a parable than you would to try to go and understand something that Paul would say. Aren't you? Even Peter said the writings of Paul, they are hard. Let's face it. You come to the book of Romans and you begin to read through the book of Romans, and you come to a section that you do not comprehend. What do? You keep going. You come to the book of Revelation and you begin to read through the book of Revelation. You go to the book of Daniel and you begin to read the book of Daniel. You come to Isaiah and you begin to read some of these things. They are weighty matters. What do? We keep reading. You come to a parable and you read the story and you go, I wonder why he told that story. It begins to arouse within your heart a desire to understand. I wonder why that detail was left out. That seems a little odd. That seems strange to me. Who is this person? What's going on in here? And we're willing to ask the questions because the story, the parable, helps the mind to think through clearly. By the use of the story, the hearer is taught to teach himself. Number three, parables stir up our affections and awaken our conscience. They stir within us our affections. You can't help but read the story of the Good Samaritan and to have your affections stirred. You can't help but read the story of the prodigal son and begin to be able to place yourself either in the shoe of the father or the shoe of the prodigal or the shoe of the brother. You can almost place yourself there. You can begin to sympathize and empathize with them. You can come to the story of the woman who lost her coin and you can begin to understand how she must have felt. You've been there before. It arises within you. It arouses your affections. They help us to comprehend the truth. Number four, parables arrest and hold our attention. They arrest and hold our attention. I'm going to go back to preaching for a moment. I can be 30 minutes into a sermon, have made many a good point, at least in my point of view, and you can be starting to doze off. If I change and put in a personal antidote or tell a story, you know what happens to those who are dozing? I mean, the eyes open, the ears perk up, and they begin to listen. All of a sudden, they hear something they want to hear. What was that all about? And they perk up. They grab our attention, and it holds our attention. Matter of fact, in John chapter 7, the Pharisees sent some to investigate the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were actually a little perturbed at those whom they had sent because they hadn't come back right away. And their response was simply this: never man spake as this man. We have never heard someone speak like this. They were drawn to him. He arrested their attention. He held their attention. And the Pharisee said, we sent you to spy out. Where have you been? There has never been one to speak like this man. Parables will help us and draw our attention. Finally, parables preserve the truth. When a man is caused to think out for himself, he is more likely to remember. When you are caused to think through the story and the parable, and you begin to question and begin to answer those questions because it is discoverable, you're more likely to remember that. I mentioned to you this morning about children and their education. Why do we as parents need to tell our kids that we have our education, go get your own? Because what they discover for themselves, they will remember. What I answer for them, they will forget. And then I'm just going to have to keep answering it over and over and over again. When you come to church, what do you need to do? What is it that I want to cause you to do? I'm going to cause you to think. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God would take even but just one point and make you think through it. Paul would say to Timothy, meditate upon these things. Why is that so important? Because what we discover on our own, we will remember. What we study for ourselves, it will become personal. And it's going to help us then to apply that to our own heart, to our own life as we now live. That which captures the imagination and associates a picture with it is more likely to be remembered than the mere words themselves. A concept defined is good, but a concept given in word pictures is even better. When you speak, those who teach, if you can speak to someone in such a way that you can cause them to see it in their own mind, they're more likely going to remember that than the abstract truth that you would teach. And so parables preserve for us the truth. There's one final question that we have to ask ourselves tonight as we prepare to study the parables, and that is this: how do we interpret the parables? So we come to these stories. How do we interpret these parables? I want to give you three thoughts tonight in relation to the parable. If we understand what a parable is, then we need to know how to interpret that parable. The first thing I want you to understand is this: every parable has a main thought or lesson that is intended to be understood. So as we begin to study the parables, we need to interpret that parable as we search out the central truth of that story. Each of these stories will have a central truth. There was one reason the story was told, and we need to search out that central truth. Second, we must evaluate all the details of the parable through the lens of that central truth. A parable is not an allegory. Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory. Every picture has a hidden meaning. That is not the case in a parable. A parable is in many ways a simple metaphor in story form. There is a central truth. And so as we look at those details that surround that parable, we need to understand the detail in light of the central truth. The ancient fathers of the early church found every detail to be something important to be understood. They would come to a story like the Good Samaritan, and the inn that he was taken to, that was the church. Folks, it was an inn for a man to go to because he had been beaten by the robbers. It was not associated with the church. And every detail that they would find, even the money that he had promised to pay, it had a spiritual meaning behind it. Folks, some of the details of her parables are simply what that. Details colored to the story. That we might remember. Not everything has a hidden meaning. So we evaluate the details through the lens of the central thought or truth. And then finally, we have to understand the parable in light of the circumstances which surround its origin. We have to know the context in which the story was told. Why did Jesus share the parable at a given time? What was taking place that caused him to teach that truth? And those things are important. They're essential to understanding the parable itself. He had a purpose in mind. He is the master teacher. And he is going through these stories to arouse our attention. He is going to seek to cause us to understand by means of comparison something that we can grasp and lay hold of. He wants to teach us a spiritual lesson and a spiritual truth. Ones that we need to comprehend and need to know and put in practice within our lives. I am looking forward to this time to be able to study again the greatest stories that have ever been told. As I think about these stories, I'm reminded that the parables of the Lord, we find messages for man from the heart of the Master. These things that we need to understand, which will help us to grow thereby. I hope that you'll be excited as we begin to look at the various parables and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think our heart will be blessed in the days to come. Let's go ahead and close our time, please, in a word of prayer. Shall we pray?